Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Rick Graff. Joining us today for Medical Monday is Dr. Charles Gordon of New York Pain Management in Clifton Park, New York, a graduate of Columbia Medical School in New York City. Dr. Gordon completed his residency in anesthesiology at the Harvard University School of Medicine. He received his training in pain management at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Gordon has been practicing medicine for over 17 years and is board certified in both anesthesiology and pain management. He was the director of Glens Falls Hospital's Pain Management Center and practiced pain medicine for over 11 years in Glens Falls. Dr. Gordon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Your first time, eh?
Yes, it is.
To get in on the conversation, please give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also check in online. Best way to see how to do that is go to our show page. It's wamc.org/voxpop, and you can find out all the different ways you can communicate with us. So, Dr. Gordon, your first time on the show. It's my first time filling in for Alan on this show. So we'll make the best of it, eh?
Absolutely.
1-800-348-2551. Tell us about what pain management is much more than administering drugs, as I understand it. Tell me what your philosophy is and quickly how that whole thing fits together.
Hard to finish it all up quickly, but pain management is basically trying to control a patient's symptoms as best we can or help them manage it better than they're managing it at the present time. We use a multitude of different methods. Obviously, everybody, as our conversation led to initially, thinks about medications.
Yeah.
The potentially addictive substances that we hear on the news all the time about. But our goal is to try and get people off of those substances, try and improve their quality of life and improve their functionality.
So, I mean, there's a difference between a one-stop fix and someone who has chronic pain. Right. I mean, it's a whole different way to approach it. Yes.
I mean, our society is very interested in the quick fix, and they want to come in, have us write a script or do an injection or, you know, pull out the magic wand. And, you know, one of my favorite lines is, gee, the magic wand's broken today. Let's see what we can do. See what we can figure out to try and help you manage your pain and your symptoms and your problems that are going on right now.
Well, you know, if you had to put a percentage on the number on the quantity of patients who are one-timers and the quantity of patients who are chronic, who deal with pain every day of their life, what would that be?
Probably about 30% of our patients really want a quick fix.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody really wants a quick fix. They want to get back on the golf course or, you know, back out in the slope skiing, you know, whatever it is, you know, just playing with their grandkids. But after a while, we have a number of patients that will come in that have had prior surgeries, so they're kind of getting the picture that it's not a quick fix. And oftentimes we'll have patients sent to us that just fell at work and they've got something going on, they're trying to figure it out, and their primary care doctor sends them to us to try and help diagnose and point them in the right direction.
So there's a fair amount of detective work involved in what you do.
Correct.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Charles Gordon is our guest. It's Medical Monday. Ray Graff in for Alan Shartok. Let's go to the phones. Jamie in Ellenville, you're first with Dr. Gordon.
Hey, a good place to start. I'm a chronic sufferer. By way of the fact you're an anesthesiologist, it's interesting. Oh, mine started 15 years ago with malignant hypothermia on an operation. And ever since then, my immune system's been crazy. And, you know, first it was Crohn's, and now I got fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis, and the last one is now chronic fatigue syndrome. In other words, not a clue. But I live in constant pain, and it's been impossible just to get care, doctor. You know, I just the regular generic drugs now that aren't even available because of all this threat of abuse. And, you know, is there anything for me? You know, other than living on Percocets and oxycodones and Oxycontins and all the other garbage.
Okay, doctor?
What's your primary pain? What hurts you the most?
Oh, God. You know, it's just like I'm living in gravity that's too strong for me most of the time. And then other times I get burning legs and, you know, very stiffness in the joints and just constantly like I've been like beat up with a baseball bat. It's unrelenting. It really wears you down. You know, that's like now they call it. Now it's a chronic fatigue. They tell
okay.
me.
Right. I think you really have, you know, we see a lot of patients, and I know a number of the other pain management centers see a lot of patients like yourself, and they truly are, you know, a huge challenge to try and manage and try and point in the right direction because you've probably been through the mill, had a multitude of different therapies. You probably had chiropractic.
The antipsychotics and the chiropractics and the acupunctures and, you know, the homeopathics. I've done them all. And, like, the only thing that really works on me is Percocet. But I can't even get that formulation that works anymore. You know, the Endocet generic was the one that was made me feel awake. Now I'm down to this one, I think, Malocet. It makes me exhausted. I can't stay awake on it.
Now, doctor, is Percocet one of those that will eventually you'll build a tolerance to?
Correct.
Okay. Mm. So you've tried them all, eh, Jamie?
Yeah. I never take, I don't accelerate. Like, you know, I just take enough that I get by. Like, I don't want to ever feel high. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, that's an annoying feeling because you can't do anything. You know, I just want to be functional. But it's exhausting all the time. And, like, my problem is also, like, I don't want to have injections. I don't want a morphine pump. So, like, pain management doctors aren't interested in me.
Okay.
Is there a way I can get someone in pain management to, like, actually take an interest? You know, and someone who just wants, you know, right now the only thing I can get is prescriptions.
Okay.
You know, well, what is
I think, Jamie, what you're saying brings up an interesting point. I mean, we're having all kinds of difficulties across the nation with obtaining medications that previously have worked, and you end up with situations where there's shortages, and one mm-hmm. company is making the medication, they go out of business, and somebody else jumps in there.
Yeah.
So there is some inconsistency, and I believe there's mm-hmm. a movement to try and change some of this. But it brings up another point in that we're finding that there are different genetic predispositions to which medications tend to work for you. And there are some products that are coming on the market, I don't have the names of those products, where they're actually looking at an individual's genetic makeup to try and figure out which medications may help them better than others, if at all.
I mean, are there, and thank you for the call, Jamie, we appreciate it. Are there situations where you and your team have to say, and I'm not implying this for mm-hmm. Jamie or any of the callers, but say, well, this person is just trying to get a script for, you know, a narcotic.
Absolutely. And that we see that quite often. And, you know, I started doing this a long time ago. We had very few options for treatment, very few medications, and narcotics and opiates were very popular and handed out much more freely. We ran into problems with them, and as did our patients.
Go ahead.
So now we have better ways of monitoring patients to see if they're taking all the appropriate medications, if they're taking the ones we're giving them, if they're taking any other illicit substances, to try and see if they're on track with what are the game plan that we try and formulate with the patient.
You know, has it in your mind, I mean, you mentioned at one time it was much freer as far as being able to prescribe some of these. Now it's much more a script. In your practice and in those practices of your colleagues, is it now too strict? Are there too many hoops for you to jump through when prescribing some of these?
In some ways it's too strict, and in other ways it's not strict enough. I know in New York State there's a new plan in progress where there's going to be much more checking on what patients have taken from other physicians, and that's a great step to try and monitor who's getting medications from where. And in the past, there's no way of tracking where patients were getting medications. I'll get notices from different organizations and insurance companies and such on patients that are getting medications from different physicians. So in a sense, it's helping us to weed out patients that are abusing the medications.
Yeah.
And helping us to feel more free to treat the patients that aren't.
Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. It's a Medical Monday. Dr. Charles Gordon of New York Pain Management in Clifton Park is with us. And Nancy in Belchertown, you're up.
Hi. My father is 90 years old and has suffered for a long time from arthritis. And now he has arthritis and neuropathy. And he can take pain medicine at night when he's going to go to sleep. But he has to do a certain amount of walking during the day to maintain his home. And I'm wondering about a TENS machine. I have had two people I know who use it successfully, But I wonder what you think.
Okay, what is a tennis machine before we go on?
Oh, I beg your pardon, TENS? The doctor will tell us.
Okay.
It's transcutaneous electrical neurostimulation.
Ah.
It's basically running electricity through a current through the subcutaneous tissues and trying to, in a way, fool the brain that there's no pain going on. It sort of works on the principle of, you know, when you'd fall down when you're younger and your mother would come and kiss your boo-boo or rub your boo-boo, that, you know, if you've ever tried it, it does work. And the TENS machine works on that principle. It's a gate theory of pain control. So I think to try to answer your question is that it may be helpful. It depends on the severity and extent of your father's peripheral neuropathy, which can be it's hard enough being 90, but that's a very debilitating problem as it is. And there are external TENS machines, and there's kind of an internal TENS machine called a spinal cord stimulator. So that's, you know, when you're 90, it's a little tougher to do some of those internal devices. But the side effects are minimal, the cost is relatively low, and, there's really, if you go to a place that can help you apply it appropriately and teach you, it can be helpful in many of these situations.
Okay. And the doctor, the podiatrist, would be the one, or his general physician, to point him in the right direction if we just look up pain management?
Well, I would, if you go to your, a lot of the internal medicine physicians or family doctors, they usually direct you to physical therapy departments and physical therapy practices. They generally do the teaching and application and work on the rental or purchase of it.
Very good.
Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Dr. Charles Gordon is our guest. It's Medical Monday. More on the way.
Support for Vox Pop on WAMC comes from Premier Medical Group of the Hudson Valley, gastroenterology and urology specialists with offices in Dutchess, Ulster, and Orange counties, premiermedicalhv.com. Anderson Center for Autism, Statsburg, New York, providing educational and residential programs, diagnosis, and treatments for children and adults, AndersonCenterForAutism.org. Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany, serving hibachi dinners, sushi, sashimi, curry soups, Thai, and entrees, offering daily specials, 518-432-0358. Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors, and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890. With 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont, CurtisLumber.com, and Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, for over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop, TheBowWowBathhouse.com.
One 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop on WAMC Medical Monday. Ray Graff in for Alan Shartok today. Dr. Charles Gordon is our guest. He is with New York Pain Management in Clifton Park, New York. And we welcome your phone calls at 800-348-2551. You know, is there that class of patient that comes in and says, you know, I feel like I've been run over by a bus and I feel terrible, and you just take a look and say, well, you know, lose some weight, exercise, things like that. Is that a common route to go with what you guys do?
You know, it is. And maybe over the years I've become a little jaded because you have that talk hundreds and hundreds of times, but it's very rare that patients really do, you know, change their diet, change their weight level. Because, with what we do, we can help improve their symptoms and their situation to some extent.
Yeah.
But if you can't make positive steps on your own, and, you know, granted, it is very difficult to lose weight when you're in pain. It's hard to exercise. And, you know, the people that are able to do that, I give them a tremendous amount of credit because it takes an immense amount of willpower to make those changes occur. So, we do have those talks. We do mention it. Usually by the time they see us, they've been hit over the head 10 times about losing weight. But there's a lot of data that shows, good scientific data that shows, that you will have less pain if you're able to lose weight.
Certainly if your legs or feet hurt and you're 100 pounds overweight,
right,
good spot to start would be to perhaps lose some of the weight.
Absolutely. There's a direct correlation between your need for knee replacement and hip replacement
overweight. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Dr. Charles Gordon, our guest. Joan in the Berkshires, you're on.
Yeah, my question pertains to the relationship between lower back pain and the firmness of mattresses. Every morning I wake up and I have lower back pain, and it seems to work itself out with stretching and some walking. And I have a fairly firm mattress, and I just wonder what firmness is recommended that provides sufficient back support but avoids this lower back pain in the morning.
I get this question a lot, and
I ask the same question.
You know, it's I would say don't go out and buy a new mattress. You know, find a way of checking out some different mattresses. You know, maybe worth going and spending a night in a hotel with a different type of mattress, or visiting friends and borrowing their mattress, whatever you can do, because mattresses are very expensive.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough for people to afford the medications, let alone go out and buy a $500, $1,000, you know, super-duper mattress thinking it's going to cure their problems, because many times it won't. If you have a really poorly made mattress that's falling apart, it's likely that a new one is going to help you out. But I don't know that you necessarily need to go and spend, big bucks on a mattress.
Right.
Yeah, they have a lot of different materials now, you know, besides the coils. They have lots of, you know,
foam,
polyurethane, everything that goes in between them. And it's very hard to figure out what really will work.
Well, I think the bottom line is that even with all those new materials, they haven't cured back pain. And the incidence of back pain is the same or greater with all these new mattresses around. So
yeah,
you need to go and do a lot of homework on it, and don't just buy the most expensive.
And Joan, you know what we did at my house? My wife and I had the same issue. We flipped the mattress over, and that bought us another couple of years. Unfortunately, now we're at the point where those couple of years are up. So we're right with you, Joan.
I want to add one other thing that you may do is that if it's a very soft mattress, you know, just do something simple. Get a sheet of plywood and put it between your mattress and your box spring. That'll firm it up a little bit. See if that helps you out. And that's a cheap solution for some people.
Yeah, they sell these toppers now too.
Yeah.
To soften if it's too hard, but it's really a challenge.
It absolutely is.
Well, good luck, Joan. Thanks a lot. Let's go over to Jeffrey and Troy. Jeffrey, you're up.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if you could just speak at all to medical marijuana as far as pain management and what your thoughts are about that.
Okay.
It's a very hot topic right now, obviously, and I know New York State, they're looking at it, and there's a lot of money going into trying to figure out where they're going to grow it in New York State. But for as far as pain management, the true studies that are high quality showing a benefit of medical marijuana are very limited.
Mm-hmm.
There are some good indications in cancer patients who have very difficult to control nausea and vomiting with chemotherapy and maybe with some radiation therapy. But for pain management, it's not a it would not be my first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, maybe eighth choice to suggest that people, you know, obviously I do have people that come in and say, you know, I get it from someplace and I smoke it once in a while and it helps me out. You know, and there are a lot of things that it can help you with, but I'm not necessarily sure that it's truly helping the pain.
All right, Jeffrey, thanks a lot for the call. That occurs to me that perhaps there is a certain mind over matter involved. How does your practice work as far as psychological aspects and getting one's head ready to sort of feel better?
That's a tough question. You see all types of patient psychological profiles when they come in, and you know, there are a lot of people who are very needy and need somebody to help them and really are looking for that nurturing care. There are other people that, as we've talked about before, want the quick fix.
Yeah.
You know, the injection that's going to get them back to work and doing those things. Many times we have patients that are already on some kind of antidepressant. Most, probably at least half of our patients that we see are currently on an antidepressant, one type or other. And there are some antidepressants that do have a positive impact on pain itself.
Well, no, I didn't mean depression so much. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Radiolab mm-hmm. before the show, and they had this whole thing about
Mesmer and
right.
magnetizing trees
right.
and how it seemed to work for people.
Right.
But in reality, it was somebody saying, oh, gosh,
right.
subconsciously, I want to feel better, hence they feel better. So is there that? Is there a psychological switch that can be thrown that helps people feel better regardless of medication?
I mean, there is, and I listened to some of that program also, and I think, you know, one of the things that can happen is that patients, you do prescribe them medication, you do an injection, and they feel better initially, but when they get back into the real-life situations, many times the pain will come back to some extent. If I give somebody, a certain medication and they get a 30% response, which is considered a placebo response, that's great because your pain level has gone from a 10 out of 10 where you can't even get out of bed down to a 7 out of 10, a 6 out of 10. I'll take that. So there is I do believe there's a certain amount of it. I think there's a certain amount that you get from your patient-doctor relationship, from where you're taken care of and who's really involved in your life and the changes they're trying to help you make.
Yeah.
I think trying to put people in a more positive framework to understand what they're facing, but that there are things that can help them out there, and that there are other people who are in the same situation.
Hmm.
So there are different types of pain help groups that are out there. There are other patients who are willing to talk about their issues with other patients. So, I think there are a lot of different ways to approach that. But in terms of the true Mesmer effect or hypnotic effect, and that was an interesting program.
It was
also
an interesting show.
Very good. I mean, I think all these things may be helpful to some extent, and if you get some relief, whether it's 1 point or 2 points, we need to use every tool that's available for these people, like our first caller, who are truly in a difficult situation.
Indeed. 800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Charles Gordon of New York Pain Management is our guest. Back to the phones we go. Julie in Connecticut, you're on. Whoops. I'll press the button and say it again. Julie in Connecticut, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've been seeing the Pain Management Center for 10 years for chronic pain and multiple illnesses due to side effects from pain medication. And what they do there is fantastic. If it wasn't for the injections in combination with homeopathic anti-inflammatories and meditation, I wouldn't be walking it as we speak.
Julie, that's great to hear, and I encourage you. It sounds like you found yourself a good place, and continue to work with them, and I'm glad you're doing better.
Yes, I just want people to know, though, that you really can overcome the pain without all the narcotics. I don't think they realize all the side effects of the narcotics.
No, that's true, because when you're in pain and you present yourself to an emergency room or to your primary care doctor with acute pain, usually the first thing you're given is some kind of a narcotic, pain medication, along with possibly an anti-inflammatory. So that's what people or patients are first exposed to. And unfortunately, we believe, meaning patients and people, that what works first is going to continue to work. And most of the time it doesn't. There really is not a lot of great data to show that long-term opiates provide a positive impact on patient outcomes, meaning do you get back to work? Are you able to do your activities of daily living and really lead a more productive life?
Mm.
Right.
So I thank you.
I do have one quick question for you. Is there any future, studies or whatever regarding replacement of the spine? I heard there was something with a shark bone that they're rebuilding the spine with. Have you heard of that?
Wow.
There's research in trying to rebuild parts of it. We see some complex patients where they really have awful looking spines, and we joke about it, but it's a really difficult organ to try and replace. I would rather, when I was in medical school, I watched heart transplants and other organ transplants and participated in those. Trying to replace a spine is a very, very, very difficult operation to undertake. So I don't see it coming in the near future, unfortunately, but possibly parts of it, like you're alluding to, using shark bone or other substances, or possibly even you know, injecting different cells and tissues into the disc to try and help with disc regeneration.
Well, Julie, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Is the spine the primary culprit of those who you see in your practice?
Yes, it is.
In some form?
Correct. Yep.
Let's go to Ronnie in Leverett, Mass. Ronnie, you're on.
Thank you very much. I have had a lot of problems with the whole pain medication issue. I have chronic pancreatitis, I have fibromyalgia, and daily headaches. And I also, I can't take anti-inflammatories because I have hemophilia. I've become very tolerant to the opiates, really tolerant. They don't, not only do they not get me high at all, but they don't really take the pain away at all. At all. It's like taking a sugar pill. But I'm calling because my one of the problems I don't think I should have is when I go see, when I'm in the hospital, which I am fairly often, or when I go see the office at my physician's, that my physician has, I get a lot of attitude about, I get kind of treated like a criminal, like for taking these opiates. And I feel judged. And even though all the hospitals have the banners that say your pain is our problem, it's not true. They don't treat you that way. Because I have such a high tolerance now, when I ask for more pain medication, they just think I'm being a junkie. But I'm not a junkie. I don't take medication unless it works.
All right, doctor.
Yeah, and you bring up a very good point. I mean, trying to treat patients with, allow them to have their dignity and treat them with humility. And it's very challenging when it comes to the opiates sometimes because we see in our practice and in a lot of physician practices a tremendous amount of abuse of the medication, tremendous amount of drug seeking, which can oftentimes make us jaded. And
I understand that too.
No, and I'm not trying to make excuses for myself or my colleagues. I'm just trying to set the stage for what we're talking about. So you're in a very difficult position. You have multiple medical problems that have a lot of interplay on each other. And the fact that you have you're hemophiliac makes it difficult to do a lot of injection-type therapies, which we use to try and get people away from medications.
Right.
You know, the problems you're having with the medication alludes to what I was talking about earlier in that the long-term use of opiates just does not work that well.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And so we're left with a number of other medications that are tend to have side effects, tend to work for some people great, for other people don't work at all. Things that are anti-seizure medications and some antidepressants and things like that. So, unfortunately, you're just in a very difficult situation. And I think medical practices tend to get frustrated when they don't see a positive response. And, I don't know that I have a good answer for you.
Meditate. I mean, I've tried to do everything I can.
You're better off trying to find when you have a complex pain problem, trying to work with like a tertiary care center, like a larger, where do you live? You're in?
I live in Leverett. Which is... It's Western Massachusetts.
Yeah, so trying to get to a university hospital setting to see if they have any. And some university hospitals just don't have a strong program.
Right.
But, maybe down at Yale or down over at Brigham Women's Hospital in Boston, someplace like that, to see if they can kind of point you in a direction for something so highly complicated. And I would also explore all those other avenues like, unfortunately, acupuncture is probably not the best thing for you being a hemophiliac, but massage therapy, chiropractor.
I have done all of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think trying to find, if you can, the mixture of those alternative therapies.
Uh-huh.
And that brings up the other question is that the other issue is that when you are trying to use these multiple modalities, most insurance companies don't pay for them or cover them.
Yes.
I know that.
So you may find something that's working for you and you're cut off by the economic issues.
All right, Ronnie, thanks a lot. We got to move on here, but thank you very much for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Charles Gordon is our guest, and Robert in Vermont. Robert, you're on.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had neck pain in the joint cervix and thoracic joint where my head will bob. I've had pain in there for 6 or 7 years, I guess, and I've been to the pain clinic in Pittsfield. I went to the Beth Israel in Boston pain clinic, and I did one in Miami where we go for a few months. So I've been to these major, tell themselves as pain clinic. I've tried, I can control it to some, I can control it fairly well with roll up a towel or something under my neck and lie down flat, or in, if I'm driving the car, I'll lean way back with a towel or a pillow under it. I take the pressure off. I can sleep at night because I sleep on my back, and but when I stand up, if my Vicodin is not doing its job, which more and more it is not doing the job, then I have this really severe ache, pain, slash, and after an hour or so of enduring that, it's pretty bad. I don't know if you...
Let me ask Robert, let me ask you a question if I can.
Yeah, sure.
Where is most of your pain in your neck? Is it one side, the other, top, bottom, or
it's
does
not
it radiate
on one
to the
side
arms?
Or the other, but it's I don't even know if I want to say totally neck. It goes down into a sort of lower in the what I would call the neck, a little below that joint, by that whatever you call that joint, that thoracic.
Now you had wondered whether surgery was an option. Is that
no? All the people I've talked to said they don't want to touch that. They don't want to fool with surgery on the back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, that maybe there are people that does, but the three centers that I talked to said that surgery was not. They didn't think that was a good idea. They were.
Yeah. I think it's hard to give you an easy answer on that.
Yep.
Without looking at your MRI and your X-rays.
Yeah, I've
and
had
doing
those,
an exam.
And obviously X-rays, yeah. And MRIs.
And again, like a lot of the patients, you know, they're very difficult problems, and
they
I'm surprised.
They say that the X-rays and so forth show a substantial amount of arthritis in that joint, and that's my problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that sound correct?
If you're using a very limited amount of pain medication, and you're mixing it with some Tylenol, maybe an anti-inflammatory that works for you, and on some days, and you're doing those positional things that you're talking about, you know, I would think that would be a reasonable approach to try and get some semblance of control of your pain.
I don't use the only pain medicine that I use is Vicodin, and I'm on a blood thinner. I'm on, I just went off of Pradaxa to,
right.
To
okay.
something
so that's
else. I think it's new. I don't even think what the name is. Sounds like a fish name. But anyway,
okay.
I'm on that. So,
all right. So
they're limited. I don't know if I should be mixing with the Vicodin, whether I should mix some Tylenol or...
Well, I think a doctor has to give you that answer, right?
Yeah, I think you know, it's hard to give medical advice over the airwaves without doing an examination.
Yeah.
But I would suggest getting to see, you know, somebody who you can see on a consistent basis. It sounds like you're moving around a lot from doctor to doctor, and
that could be
right
counterproductive. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll get back to the phones in just a moment. A home stretch coming up with Dr. Charles Gordon. It's a Medical Monday. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for Vox Pop on WAMC comes from Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center's Graduate Social Work Program and Graduate and Undergraduate Nursing Programs, hosting an open house Tuesday, July 9th, 6 p.m., St. Francis Hospital Pavilion, connect.adelphi.edu/Hudson Valley Events. St. Francis Hospital and Health Centers, Poughkeepsie, serving the healthcare needs of the community, including trauma and emergency care, and the Center for Robotic Surgery, sfhospital.org. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond, 518-580-8080. Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, thedamcafeanddeli.com. And Capcom, Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more. CapComFCU.org.
One 800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Charles Gordon of New York Pain Management is our guest on this Medical Monday. Ray Graff in for Alan Chartok. Phyllis in Albany, you're next. Hello.
Hi. Did you say Phyllis?
Is your name Phyllis?
Yep.
It's your lucky day. You're on.
Okay. Before I tell you the problem, I just wanted to say that for people who have back pain, that two pillows under the knee. I use that, two pillows under my knees, and that helps a lot. Prevents
okay.
my back from hurting.
Fair enough.
I have a son who's 34 who has chronic knee pain for like 4 years, and I'm wondering what the doctor thought of acupuncture as a treatment.
The thing about acupuncture is that it can work on a very wide spectrum of problems. And it depends on what the underlying cause of the knee pain is. I'm assuming it's not completely clear since it's not going away. But acupuncture has very few significant side effects, and it can help. Unfortunately, oftentimes it requires follow-up therapy. It's not just kind of a one needle day, and then you're done. So in a way, it works kind of like chiropractic for a lot of people. And that you kind of get the pain calmed down, then you need some follow-up sessions along the way.
Why does acupuncture work?
I am not going to try and explain that.
Okay.
My partner,
do we know why? Is it magic, or do we know why it works?
My partner is actually certified in acupuncture, so
okay.
We'll have to get him back here.
All right, fair enough. We'll let you off the hook
on
that.
I'm
going
to dodge that one because I'll go back to the office and he'll secure me.
Fair enough. All right, Phyllis, you have a follow-up?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Philip. Phyllis, we appreciate it. Let's go to our friend Jill in Waterford. Jill, you're on.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Good. Nice to have you
here. Very good. Thank you.
I have a, let me just start with, I am an avid skier, downhill skier, and becoming an avid cyclist as far as, like, touring long distance. And I've had bad knees since I was in college. And about 10, maybe a little more years ago, I herniated a disc in my lower back. And ever since, I have difficulty with a lot of the activities that I enjoy with regards to my quads. I was always told if you do strengthen your quads, it will help your knees. But with the lower back issue, I can do leg lifts and stairs and whatever else till the cows come home, and I still get that horrendous burning in my legs.
Can I ask you a question, Jill? Can I interrupt you for 1 second? Are you doing this under the direction of a physical therapist or a physiatrist or a physician?
I was.
You were.
I was for a while. I mean, that was the recommendation from the PT. To strengthen the quads, that would alleviate the pain in my knees. But now what is happening, or at least I guess this is where my question is, the bad disc in my lower back, is that preventing my quads from getting any stronger? Because, like I said, I seem to get this terrible burning in my thighs, yeah. Whenever I go upstairs, whenever I have to cycle a hill or whatever, and it doesn't get any easier.
Well, I think, Jill, that it could be if you have significant, if that disc is causing some spinal stenosis or narrowing in the spinal canal, that actually, in a sense, when you're upright, can put sort of a corset on the nerves in the spinal canal and give you that burning, aching when you're
right.
standing.
It doesn't hurt all the time. Just when I'm doing, those activities. I mean, as long as the road is flat, I can, cycle 100 miles.
Right.
But you put even a little incline in it, and there go the burning legs.
Hmm.
And
yeah.
I do stairs. I don't like doing elevators. I prefer stairs. but it's becoming increasingly difficult even to do stairs without having to stop. It's very frustrating.
Jill, do you mind if I ask how old you may be or how mature you are?
Yeah, I'm 57. Yes, I know.
You didn't have to answer that, Jill.
Has a lot to do with it.
All right.
Well, I'm 57. I'm proud of it.
You sound like you're doing great, and you're doing all the right things. You know, you might want to check back in periodically with a physician who's kind of guiding you. The only thing that you may have some spinal stenosis that could be contributing to some of that as you kind of up the amount of oxygen requirement in your legs that may be getting affected. You may also want to have your physician think about checking your circulation in your legs because that can have some kind of an impact if you have any cardiovascular issues.
Okay, I thought there was an oxygen issue, and I did go to a pulmonologist for a while, and he tested me for a whole range of things from asthma to exercise-induced asthma, etc., and everything came out fine. So as far as oxygen, that doesn't seem to be the problem.
You know, then it may be in the spinal stenosis in your back, and I would, have you talk to your physician about getting you to see maybe a spine surgeon or somebody in pain management to take a look at that.
Jill, thanks a lot. We got to move it on, but thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Marjorie in Saugerties. Marjorie, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi there.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to ask the doctor to explain to me. I have fibromyalgia, and likely I have chronic fatigue, and one of the medications I was put on years ago was Tramadol for the pain. I don't seem to feel any pain relief from the Tramadol, but it wakes me up.
So it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, and you want something that is going to help the pain but not wake you up?
No, I want to be awakened. I wanted to know
Well, let me ask you.
Most people experience when they take Tramadol, they usually, get very sleepy or tired or whatever. And I take it 300 milligrams a day so that I can stay awake. Because otherwise, I would not be awake.
Yes, Tramadol is a very interesting medication, and it is for a number of our patients. It can be very, very helpful. And, as you say, it doesn't typically make everybody sleepy. It can make some people sleepy. As different people react differently to medications. And a lot of the medications that we use in society today that are prescription medications affect multiple systems or multiple nerve pathways in the brain. And some people have, different reactions, basically, is the easy way to put it. So for you, that sounds like a good medication if it was helping your pain a little bit better. And you may want to talk to your physician who's treating you to see if there may be something else they can add that's going to help you more with your chronic fatigue symptoms.
Okay. Are you still with us, Marjorie?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
So you might have nodded off there.
But is it helping you with your chronic fatigue?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
It keeps me awake. The soreness in this and the pain in my neck and down, my shoulders.
Yeah, we'll see that.
Becomes far more tolerable when I'm because when I start to get sleepy, it isn't as though I'm sleepy. Hmm. It's as if I don't lay down and go to sleep, I have no idea what's going to happen to me. I feel ill.
And that's what a lot of patients with fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, they're two separate syndromes, but that gnawing, nagging pain just makes them want to lay down and go to sleep. And it sounds like, in a sense, it is helping your pain to a certain degree to allow you to stay up. And, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, Marjorie, thanks a lot for the call. Fibromyalgia, it seems so mysterious for so long. Have they figured it out?
If you could find a fibromyalgia pill that really worked 100% of the time, you would have a multi-billion-dollar medication. It's such a significant problem for us as practitioners. There are, fortunately today, a number of medications that are helpful for fibromyalgia, but none of them work to the point where they give patients complete relief. But it certainly can help stem the the severity of the pain.
Dr. Charles Gordon is our guest. He's with New York Pain Management. Let's go over and stay on the tramadol topic for a minute. Alyssa in Kingston, you're on.
Hi. I had a ganglion cyst removed from my right wrist, and in February I had a skiing accident, and I never thought that I would be a candidate for... I have pain management and got a cortisone shot for the first time today and a brace and all this because I'm, like, really athletic. But I'm wondering, why was tramadol recently changed from being a decent painkiller for people who are sensitive to, like, being reliant and don't want to be knocked out? And now it's a Schedule II drug, so... What I encountered, I'm sorry, since that happened, is that my dentist was like, well, I don't know, you've had so much tramadol, we're going to have to do this oral surgery, but I can't give you anything.
So what is a Schedule II drug, first of all? What is a Schedule II
basically, drug? Basically, the biggest problem is that previously, and I think what Marilyn's sort of alluding to is that it was...
It's Alyssa.
I mean, I'm sorry, Alyssa was alluding to... is that it was more easily written for by practitioners and you could write for refills on it. Mm-hmm. Today you can't. I'm not entirely clear why it was. There's a potential for addiction and abuse in it. I have not found that to be a case with the patients that I take care of or seen it in the literature as a significant problem. But I think in terms of trying to clear up the potential addiction of addictive medications, this one kind of got caught in the crossfire. And
so Schedule II is much more restricted? Is that what it
correct.
Is?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Part B and the last part, because I'll tell you that 50 milligrams or two of those, I don't have to take any more to deal with the pain, and I don't take it every time, so it still works. But is there something now between Percocet and tramadol or tramadol and Tylenol that is, are there other pain-killing options?
I would work on if it is okay with your physician, that your primary care or family doctor, that's okay for you to take anti-inflammatories. Tylenol tends to work well for headaches and some types of nerve pain, but with inflammatory conditions, the Aleves, the Advils, the ibuprofens, Naprosyn, Celebrex, all those medications, they tend to help with a lot of the inflammation type diseases, and maybe somewhere in between the two, you may be able to take a little bit of tramadol with some of those and cut back on your tramadol dose.
Okay, I'm going to try White Willow. Thanks for answering my question.
Alyssa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let's go over to Marilyn in Lake George. Marilyn, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know to a lot of your listeners this is going to sound like I'm in la-la land, but I just wanted to mention...
Well, can I say something right away? Is that I have a friend that practices Reiki, and I've had Reiki myself. So,
oh, good.
All right, well, we only have about a minute, so tell me what Reiki is and why it works for you.
Well, it's hard to describe. You really should read about it, but it's a form of energy healing.
Uh-huh.
Here's my story in brief. For almost 14 years, I had nonstop migraines. I mean, dizziness, nausea, the whole bit. I also have carpal tunnel syndrome. I was diagnosed 15 years ago with that. I'm a professional pianist, so that really scared me. The last couple of years, I've had bad arthritis in a couple of my joints. I'm diabetic, and I was starting to get pretty bad numbness in my toes, which scared the life out of me. A friend of mine who's a scientist, and otherwise I wouldn't even have tried this because I was completely skeptical, tried it for chronic pain. It worked amazingly on her. I thought, okay. She became a practitioner. It worked so well. It worked immediately on my migraines and all the other problems after a year of treating myself. I became a practitioner because it was so amazing. All those other problems are gone.
Okay.
Just wanted to mention that as a possibility.
If I could say a brief thing about that,
sure.
Is that I think, as we talked about before, not everything works for everybody. And I think when you have a chronic problem, it's worth exploring some of these what people consider alternative methods, whether it's acupuncture or Reiki or, and don't stop with your pain problem because once in a while you'll hit the jackpot like you did.
I mean, is it an ethical line to draw? In other words, from talking to patients that some of these things sometimes work, whether it be acupuncture or Reiki, anything else, but yet you don't know exactly why they work.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make you question whether or not to prescribe it?
Well, a lot of our medications that we use today, they don't know exactly why they work. They come up with some theory so they can, and some data, and get it by the FDA and say it does work, you know, and prove that it's safe and it does work. We don't know how it works. They still don't know exactly why Tylenol works.
Wow. Well, that's a great way to leave it. Dr. Charles Gordon, how can people find out more about your you guys have a website, right?
We have a website. It's nypainfree.com.
A great pleasure having you on the show. Great job. First try. You did very well.
Thank you.
We are out of time. I apologize to those we left on the line. Feel free to get in line earlier next time. I know I say it. It sounds flippant. But call early, and we got a better shot of getting you in. Once again, Dr. Charles Gordon of New York Pain Management. And nice show. Nice job on your debut. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from the Hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. Health-quest.org for locations. I want to thank Zachary Malloy, who handled the controls. Our intern, Hannah Hohenstein-Flack, for answering the phones today. Our producer, Patrick Donges. I'm Ray Graff in for Alan Shartok. Thanks again for joining us on Vox Pop. Stay tuned now for a news update.